We were talking about conquering crumbs and rendering residue, Eino Roi L'Achilas Adam or Eino Roi L'Achilas Kelev, by using chemicals, ammonia, Ajax, whatever it is, and therefore they're completely bottled and gone. And we ended off speaking about the notorious set of Play-Doh. Play-Doh is edible, and it's considered, it's real dough, it's real chametz. And the question is, why did I even bring it up if we're talking about things that are not an issue? It's tiny little crumbs, it's tiny little pieces of dough, tiny little pieces. Well, one concern is, number one, is if you have a set and there's enough little piece of residue when they're contained in one box and one vessel, there might be a tziruf to be considered a kezias, and then ownership in itself is going to be a problem. And if you're selling your chametz, great. Well, then if you're selling your chametz, put that set away with the items that you're selling, because that may contain a kezias of chametz in a full box and a full set. Certainly, if you actually have Play-Doh itself, that is certainly an issue of ownership of chametz on Pesach, and it should be sold and put away. But this Play-Doh set and other children's toys, besides for the fact that it may end up to total a kezias when they're put into one vessel, there's a separate issue that when you're dealing with very little children, they might put certain toys into their mouth. So again, it becomes a mouth-accessible crumb. It becomes a mouth-accessible residue, and therefore it's something to be concerned about if you have little kids that could put these things into the mouth. So again, one way to deal with it would be to render it completely inedible by just spraying it down with ammonia, spraying it down with Windex. The other way to address it would just be, instead of washing every single piece, or putting it in a bathtub with a good soap solution, instead of going through that bother, just put it away with the chametz that's being sold. Now, once we're talking about these little tiny pieces that may have access to get into your food, like under the upper cabinets, the hood perhaps of the range of your oven, which sometimes absorbs moist flour or batter splashes that could fall down, those areas are tiny places and they should be thoroughly cleaned. Again, they don't have to be scrubbed like crazy. As long as they're sprayed with something that'll passel them, that'll ruin them, it's okay. Now, it has to be something that's going to ruin them completely, me'achila, because when it just something that ruins their taste, let's say with a little vinegar or a high solution of salt water, that is still considered eichel, even though the tam, the flavor itself, is ruined. And this is the reason why when it comes to kalim, this, we're going to go into the next topic now, kashering kalim is required for Pesach. Because even though we have a rule that tam, flavor, that gets into the walls of vessels through cooking, and it gets absorbed into flatware and into your pots and pans, the flavor get into it. Those flavors, once they're old, once they've been sitting for a while, halakhically speaking, they're considered ruined flavor. It's not considered a good flavor that's imparted into food. And once it's not considered a good flavor, that allows us eventually to do bittel and to do kashering. The question is, why is kashering needed? The answer is, it still is considered food, even though it's considered a flavor that's not good anymore. So then flavor that it might impart into the next food that you're cooking, it still is tam. It's tam pogum. The halakha is tam ke'ikr. Flavor that gets absorbed into a pot or a pan is considered like the actual essence of the food itself, which means if you have some beer flavor that got absorbed into the pot of your chalent pie because you put beer into your chalent, or if you have batter, macaroni flavor that gets absorbed into your pasta pot, that flavor that exists in the walls of the pot is considered like macaroni itself. And the way to test and show that there's actually flavor, go ahead, cook up some hot water, plain hot water, and then afterwards taste the hot water. And you'll see there is flavor from the pasta in that water. And flavor is considered the item itself, according to halakha. And therefore, if we want to use kalim that have been used during the year, we want to use vessels that have been used during the year, they must go through the kashering process. The general rule of the process of kashering is, number one, we have to render the flavor pogum, we have to render the flavor not pleasant anymore, which is done by waiting 24 hours after it's been cleaned. So number one, you have to clean it well so there's no actual physical residue that could be seen or felt. That's number one. It's got to be very, very well washed. This is a bit difficult when you're dealing with, let's say, flatware that has designs in it, cracks, crevices, little creases. It's not very easy to clean that so well. But anyway, it has to be cleaned very well. And after being cleaned very well, it waits for 24 hours. which renders the tam pagum, it renders the flavor unpleasant, and then it could be kashered. The general rule of kashering is the way it goes in is the way it comes out. We'll talk about that in detail a little later. The only exclusion to that rule is when you're using dry heat, and the way it's kashered is by burning out the flavor that's in it. That has to be burnt out perhaps even more with hotter heat than it's been used with. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get into the details of kashering different vessels the next day.